This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Fiona Patton. Fiona is the leader of the Reason Party in the Victorian Parliament. And our next guest is Michael Veitch, and I've got to do a disclaimer here. I am a big fan of Michael's writing. I've bought his books, and they are bloody great. So if you think it's going to be a fawning interview, it might be. But it's actually, Michael's got a new book, Battle of the Bismarck Sea. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hello, Mac, and hello, Fiona.
Hi, Michael.
Mac, I'm in need of a new publicist, Macca, and I actually think you don't have to. I think you've already passed the interview with flying colours.
Well, look,
thank you for that embarrassing introduction.
Now, look,
but most appreciated.
It's important that you know that people know that some of the books that you've written have actually highlighted parts of our history, and not just our recent history, that people probably didn't know about or had forgotten about, and, you know, Turning Point, you know, 44 Days, they are all fantastic reads. Mm. Now, I read every night before I go to sleep, Michael, 15 minutes, no matter where I am or what condition I'm in. And
me
I love,
too, Macca.
Yeah, I love your books. And this latest one, The Battle of the Bismarck Sea, Fiona's probably thinking about the sinking of the Bismarck or, you know.
Yes, I'm getting a bit of that.
So how about you tell Fiona what the Battle of the Bismarck Sea is?
Well, hi Fiona.
Hi, Michael. Thank you.
Huge, huge, long-time fan. Lovely to meet you. Vicariously, it's a shame we can't do it in person, but there you
I
go.
Know.
Yes, a lot of people see that the Bismarck Sea something to do with Europe and Germany and all that. Well, it was Germany, but in a strange sort of historical quirk, New Guinea, that part of the northern part of New Guinea up until from the 18th, the middle of the 19th century up until World War I was a German colony. So they named all these places after famous German people, and that bit of ocean to the north of... That's right. That's right. And so that's why that bit of northern New Guinea, strangely, erroneously these days, is called the Bismarck Sea, named after Otto von Bismarck, and the site of a very important and kind of, and you know, in an awful way, exciting, because the drama of it was so extreme, but now an incredibly important battle in sort of halfway through the Second World War, and it was really the point at which Japan really lost New Guinea. This was their last chance, and it was a good chance to reinvigorate their fight in New Guinea and take Port Moresby. And if they'd taken Port Moresby, people don't realise that Japan never had to invade Australia to win. All they had to do was to checkmate us out.
Cut us
and
off.
And all they had to do that was to control the ocean to the north of Australia, and to do that, they needed Port Moresby, a massive natural harbour. And they came so close to getting it, and if they had won this battle, which was a curious sea battle fought in the air, it was a weird battle. It was basically a convoy of 16... supply ships, which was a big convoy for the Pacific.
And were they on their way to New Guinea?
Yes, that, they were heading convoy? From. Yes, they were heading from their base at Rabaul, which is on the northern tip of New Britain, which the Japanese took in early 1942. It was a disaster, one of Australia's darkest moments, where incompetence and panic from, and lack of preparation all came home to roost, unfortunately. And they took this very big harbour and used it as their Southwest Pacific base. And they managed to send one convoy, a small convoy, in January 43, and that succeeded. That got there.
Right.
And this very sinister message was tapped through from the Japanese commander at Rabaul back to Tokyo, saying, this will send shivers through our conceited enemy. And they said, right, well, we can keep this war going. We've had some losses, but we can revitalize it by sending another convoy through of 16 ships. And that was the Battle of the Bismarck Sea. This convoy had to be stopped. And there was no way to stop it because the aeroplane tactics used against them were not working.
It's extraordinary. Can I just ask one more question,
no,
Maka?
No, go.
I'm sorry, please interrupt me because I ramble on.
No, it's so exciting. So, I mean, we don't really think of Australian and American planes actually in that part of the world at that time. So where would those planes have taken off from?
Most of them took off from Port Moresby. Port Moresby was ringed with little airfields and airports because it was the point where Australia was building up its America was and Australia were building up their forces against Japan. But it was tricky because between running like a spine down the middle of New Guinea at the Owen Stanley Ranges, which are these enormous mountain ranges that goes up to 14,000 feet in the air. They're often very hard to fly over.
Yes, I've seen frightening horror videos of it.
Because
we've seen those YouTube. In fact, there are whole TV series, I think, just based on New Guinea pilots sort of flying into these bizarre airstrips in high up in the hills of Papua. And it's terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And with kind of World War II planes with no pressurization or anything like that. And that's why there are so many crashed into these peaks. Clouds with rocks is what they call them. Because, you know, often you couldn't see them because of the clouds.
Yeah. Did any of them, Michael, take off from Milne Bay? I know you've written about Milne Bay, and again, another plug, great book called Turning Point.
Thank you.
The Battle for Milne Bay, 1942, and this was, people are laughing. It's a bloody good read. Japan's first land defeat. The first land defeat of the Japanese in World War II. So they took off from Milne Bay as well.
Yes, they did, because if you took off from Milne Bay, you didn't have to go across the Owen Stanleys because it was right on the far eastern tip of the island. So New Guinea's the third or fourth biggest island in the world.
Mm.
Who knew? It's enormous, and when you look at it on the map compared to Australia, it's sort of like, oh yeah, it's like the size of, you know, like if you put New Guinea over Australia, it would take up, you know, this massive chunk of the continent itself. So it's an enormous place, and of course
it would cover Sydney and their COVID.
I certainly would. Oh, goodness me. I need something to cover the news of the last few days. Goodness me. Maybe we'll get to that in a bit. But in short order, this convoy, by a meticulous plan that was sort of thought up by a brilliant Australian called Gehring, who was a kind of a rather bully. His nickname was Bull, and he was a very kind of obstinate but brilliant airman and officer, and he constructed a plan which he drew in the sand in front of his the American commander, said, this is how we've got to do it. If we do it the normal way, that they'll get through and it'll be a disaster. And he sketched with it with a stick in the sand outside a tent in Port Moresby how they should do it. You have the Australian planes come in and strafe the ships with their guns and sort of kill the officers on the ship. And then you have the skip bombers coming in, and it was a kind of a pattern. It was like a clockwork thing. Mm. And some of the people who saw this body of 100 aircraft assembling over this spot on the north coast of New Guinea had never seen anything like it. To the end of their life, they said, you should have seen the planes assembling to attack that convoy. And it worked. Every single transport was sunk.
Good. Good.
Which was amazing. Like it had never happened before. And if they'd got through, it would have been disastrous.
Would have been tits up.
And it was quite controversial. Yeah. And Darren Hinch, actually, Darren Hinch in the 80s did a thing, Australian war criminals, blah, 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 because the day after, there were quite a lot of survivors on rafts and things like that, Japanese soldier survivors, and they were told, look, if you allow any of these people to get to shore, it would be a disaster for our people. We know how ruthless they are. We know how vicious they can be in fighting. They take no quarter. If they get to shore, they'll be revitalized, and there were several hundred of them, perhaps even more, and the Australian-American pilots were ordered to go out and kill them in the water. And it was quite controversial. Well, it wasn't controversial at the time. Everyone knew about it at the time, and there were newsreels of it, and everyone went, yeah, great. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, these were tough times. These were brutal times. This was the middle of a very, very vicious war in which Australia believed, and everyone in this country believed, that we were in grave threat of being invaded by a very, very ruthless enemy. So, yeah.
Now, Michael, I have to stop you there.
Please.
Because we've actually run out of time, and it's important to remember in talking about that subject, war crimes trials only prosecute the losers, not the victors.
That's right. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We're going to get, once COVID allows us, we're going to have you in the studio for a bit longer, because you've written a lot of books, but we are out of time. I am a big fan of the books. I encourage people, go on, have a look at these books. You won't regret it. Okay. Fiona's going to get a couple.
No, I'm fascinated. She's on really, it. I am on it.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, mate. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Now, quickly, Fiona, there's a question from a listener. Then we're just going to end the show pretty much. Have you watched Misrepresented?
I have not. I am saving it.
Okay.
In fact, that's probably this weekend's
job. You have to watch it. Now, the other thing you have to watch is Chopsticks or Fork, which is also on iView, and that's about suburban Chinese restaurants. Seriously, you've got to watch that.
Oh, great. I think this is the weather. This is the weekend weather for it, isn't it?
It is. So what we're going to do, Fiona, is we're going to wrap the show now. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for being patient. We had a few challenges. I hope it wasn't too annoying for the listeners. It was great to have you, and all bar one of the guests, Fiona organised, and there was a really diverse range of views there and talent. And again, Fiona, I want to thank you for standing up for our community and other communities and not being afraid to say what you think.
Thanks, Macca. Well, you know, I'm learning it. You know, you teach me every day about that. But I'm showing Macca was not sharing his donuts with me. I've been spending my week. I've been spending my terrible COVID lockdown making COVID stars.
Yes.
So I'll post a couple.
Well, hopefully they've got some nice sharp points on them. So when you throw them across the chamber, you might hit someone in the head on the other side.
Macca and Fiona, hi, it's Paul. I just want to interject. Fiona, we have had literally so many messages in that I would have loved for us to talk to you about, but so many of them very positive, and delighted that you're on Saturday Magazine this morning. So a big thank you on behalf of the listeners and everyone who's texting this morning.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone.
And when you go off here, go offline and buy some of those books.
I'm going to. Yeah. I wonder if he's got an audio book, so I will.
He probably has. Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Fiona.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mac. That was really fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And we'll do it again in a few months.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.